Good afternoon and welcome to One Family Financial. I'm Christy Adams.
And Ron Adams.
Chad Sontag.
And we are so glad that that you're with us today. We have a very special guest today. We'll tell you about her in just a minute. First, let me tell you a little bit about us here at One Family Financial. We have been open here in Chattanooga for about 20 years. We are members of the Better Business Bureau, or we are complaint-free and A-plus rated, and we are right here in your neighborhood. Your appointments with us are always free, so be sure and give us a call. The number is 423-710-2009. That's 710-2009. And you can find us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com. How are you guys today?
Well, we're all fine. It's just tornado outside, but outside of that.
There's not a tornado. It's just a storm.
He's trying to be a tornado.
How are you, Chad?
Staying dry.
Yes.
Staying dry and trying not to stay. Trying not to be jealous of Steve, who is absent today. He decided to send me some pictures over the weekend.
I saw that picture of him
enjoying life in the Virgin Islands somewhere right now.
So,
rough life, Steve.
Yeah, he didn't send those to me, and it's a darn good thing. Well, not first, but right now, we want to tell you about our very special guest today. We have with us Miss Nancy Kogar. And how are you, Nancy?
I'm very fine. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you. Why don't you tell all of our wonderful listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am an attorney and a partner at Samples Jennings Clement Fields here in Chattanooga, and I specialize in elder law and estate planning. So really a focus on aging issues and asset management and protecting people's needs as they grow older into end-of-life care.
Very important. Boy, if you're in the middle of anything right now, I would advise you to stop and pay attention to this, because this is information that I got too late for, fairly too late for my parents, but it's not too late for you probably, so make sure you listen in.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about it when the time's gone past to act. It's kind of like having faith. You know, you got to have faith, but then you got to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do any good to just say, oh, I believe in this or I believe in that. You could believe in a squirrel if you want, but if you don't shoot it, in that case.
What an analogy.
Well, let my dog chase it. Lynn likes to really chase squirrels.
He doesn't know how to catch them, but he does have fun
chasing
them.
He came close the other day, I will tell you. But the thing about planning is, I don't know what it is, as Americans seem to resist planning. You say, well, I had one person call me, and I'm retiring next week, and I want to plan for my retirement. I said, well, we can do that and make it better, but at the same time, you needed to start planning 10 mm-hmm. years ago or 20 years ago and starting putting money, some of the money that you're always going to need somewhere where you can't lose it. And this is the kind of things we talk about. And one of the biggest losing thing on it of all is if someone, family, goes into the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Nancy's probably seen an awful lot of that. And you have any cases in particular about that?
I've got a lot of those cases, Ron. Unfortunately, people are living longer, mm-hmm. and really the right kind of planning can keep you at home longer and keep you out of a nursing home. So that's my priority. Generally, what I deal with when someone comes in, it's either a family that's got an issue that came up with a mom or dad. There's been a diagnosis of dementia, or something has happened. They've fallen and they're in the hospital, or they visited over Thanksgiving or the holidays, and they're just not acting right, and they know there's something wrong. So they're coming to me saying, "What can I do?" In those situations, a lot of times, it's what I call crisis planning.
Right.
The other side of the sword is more long-term planning. And that's really effective as far as asset management. Because, as you know, if you go into a nursing home, it's very expensive. Here in Chattanooga, it can be more than $10,000 a month. So you can go through a life savings, in the better part of a year.
Yeah, yes. For my parents that are both in, it's more than $14,000 a month.
For the both of them.
For the two of them,
wow.
Yeah.
And I don't like that as an advocate for older people. I know they've worked all their lives to save money, buy a house, pay their bills. This baby booming generation is typically the type of person that save, understand the importance of saving, and pay their bills. So now they've got their nest egg that they wanted to leave a legacy for their children, grandchildren, and they're diagnosed with something that looks like they're going to have a long-term healthcare issue. So it's not an easy nut to crack, but the best thing is that there are some strategies in place. But as you said, Ron, waiting is not wise.
No, that's not a good strategy at all, because all that does is it gets costlier for you. And
it reduces your options.
Yes, it does reduce your options. It really does reduce your options.
And you know, you were saying that people are living longer, which is true. We are living longer, but not, and we're healthier to a certain point. And then there's the tipping point. And even though we've been healthy up to this point, say we're 80, even 90, but now we have a lot of years of not good health, but not the kind of health that's going to kill you. It's like a lot of dementia, things like that, where you will need care. You'll need some long-term care. Boy, it is really storming out here. You can hear it through the walls.
That is rain.
So, and like you said, long-term care is very expensive.
Well, and quality of life also applies, you know, applies with this, because when a family comes in, you know, and I have to consider who my client is, but when a family comes in and I'm looking at the best interest of the aging person that's having these issues, of course, their first option would be to be around their family, most likely, and be at home where they've lived for 40, 50 years. So that's the priority. And then it's really relationship building and looking at, you know, how do we age better? I'd say, you know, aging more gracefully in a way, you know, just because if you do that, then you won't have as many of those issues where you had an unexpected fall. You know, if you make improvements to your house and some of those things, improvements to your house are spend down items, and we can get into some of that for purposes of potential eligibility for Medicaid or 10 care here in Tennessee. But really, you need, don't go it alone. I have so many people, I just want to preach for a moment. I have so many people that come to me after the fact where they've gotten a cheapo power of attorney, or they've printed something off the internet, or they've got a generic document, and they have all kinds of trouble. And now mom or dad is incapacitated, and they can't do anything to help because the document doesn't work.
Or they try and not hide their money. I'm not saying they're trying to be illegal, but they're trying to, like, well, we'll give it to the kids so that we can qualify, or we'll do this with that, not understanding a look back.
Yeah, they'll say, well, I can just quit claim my house to my kids. I want them to have it anyway.
Don't do that.
That's called a fraudulent transfer.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Fraud, we generally want to avoid that.
Yes. Yeah, and don't put your kids on your house title with you either.
No. You know, there are some strategies for real property. You know, and typically I hear, what about a revocable trust? But a revocable trust is revocable. And, you know, I know, Ron, you wanted to talk about trusts a little bit. But the reason it's revocable is because you still have control over it. So that means you can move it out of the trust. So it's really not protecting much of anything if you're trying to protect it from, you know, Medicaid or something like that as a strategy.
As far as nursing, specifically talking about when managing assets for, for nursing home requirements.
Or long-term care.
Typically, those types of trusts that where you move assets for the right purpose in order to help your monies protect you longer have to be third-party trusts. That means someone other than you is the trustee. And that money can go to benefit you and your care because, as we all know with health insurance, they don't cover everything. And you can imagine that the government, if they're in charge of your care, they can have a few objections with things that are coming.
And they'll charge you for it.
So that's why I preach about that, too. You know, it's okay to put some money aside for your care. That's what the money should be used for you.
Yeah.
And then you can build some estate planning into that where you have beneficiaries after you pass away. And it can go to your children, a charity, your church. Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of strategies. But doing nothing is guaranteeing that you're going to lose.
Guaranteeing nothing. Yeah, I see a lot of people get in situations like that. And like you say, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Now, the insurance companies have had a real hard time trying to keep up with, the actuaries have a hard time trying to keep up with the cost, because the growth and change in nursing homes is unbelievable as far as cost goes and everything. So they've come out with some newer policies that would protect you first for being at home, which I'm a real advocate of. Mm-hmm. We had Christy's mom and dad home for 7 years, and you've got to have help. You had to have help come in. You still have to have help. I mean, if you don't need help, then you wouldn't need to be in a nursing home anyway. So you're sure going to need help.
And it's the help that's expensive.
That is expensive.
If you want good help, and they're worth every penny. If you have a good caregiver, they're worth more than you can afford to pay them, trust me.
Yeah, but there are a lot of bads out there. So when there I is. Find
so if you find a good one, and I know one, if you're looking for a caregiver, call me.
Yeah, we had we were using an agency, a couple agencies, and we get almost a different person nearly every day, and have to go through the training the same thing again. It was just ridiculous.
And if you're dealing with a parent with dementia, then that's reintroducing them to a stranger in the house.
No, that's not a good thing.
Not good.
It's a very hard thing to do, but there are policies that will pay for an X amount of dollars. They've got some that pay quite a bit now. And usually when someone asks me about it, they don't have any understanding, it seems like, that they're insuring to keep from losing everything. Because like you were saying a while ago, losing everything when someone goes to a nursing home is very real.
And devastating.
A lot of times in less than a year, their money's just gone. So a lot of times people are saving for a rainy day or this or that. One of the best rainy days they could have is something that would pay for the nursing home, because that happens an awful lot. That just happens a lot.
Well, we have a lot more interesting conversation coming up here, so make sure you stick with us. Give us a call, 423-710-2009, 710-2009. Visit us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com, and you can check us out on the Better Business Bureau website as well. Welcome back to One Family Financial with Ron, Chad, Christy, and our special guest, Ms. Nancy Kogar, who is an elder law attorney with Samples, Jennings, Clem, and Fields. If you have any questions for any of us during the show, just give us a call at our office, 423-710-2009. We will make sure it's routed to the right person to return your call. And if you'd like to make an appointment with us at any time, the appointment is free. I'm not speaking for Nancy here. I'm speaking for One Family Financial. And our number again is 423-710-2009. And you can find us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com. So,
yeah. So, we got some really good information from Nancy during the last segment. And I kind of wanted to dive a little bit deeper and maybe go over some of the specific asset classes or things that people can do, what their options are. We talked about, some of that crisis response when all of a sudden a loved one is diagnosed with a medical condition, or they've fallen, or, something that we can't really plan for. And people that haven't already thought about it in advance are kind of limited to what they can do. But what are some things what's kind of a typical setup you see as far as assets that a lot of individuals that come to you have, and what options?
Typically what I see is someone coming in where their house is their biggest asset. A lot of times it's paid off, so it's free and clear of liens, and then they'll have one, two, maybe a handful of bank accounts, checking account, savings account, and some CDs, and there's significant money in there. So it's not doing much from your standpoint, Ron, but they've got, say that's the bundle that I see. And the reason I mean, why does a lawyer need to know what kind of money I have? Are they trying to get my money, these darn lawyers? No, that's not the reason. Yeah. The reason is, as we can talk about, is different assets are classified in different ways by the government. Yes. So a house is exempt as long as you're living in it. And that includes the spouse that stays there. I get calls from people often saying, my mother or my wife or so forth is going into a nursing home. Are they going to take my house away? No, maybe not. Isn't that awful?
To qualify that.
The government states that it's against public policy to make someone homeless. So from that standpoint, they won't take your house away while you need it. Each state has different recovery rights. So if you're in Georgia, don't listen to this right now. Tennessee is a limited recovery state, which means that TennCare, which is Medicaid in Tennessee, can only recover after the second spouse dies. So that means that if you go into a nursing home and well spouse stays home, you're not going to lose your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might if you make other bad decisions, but in terms of TennCare, you won't lose your house. And the second spouse, if they become ill and need to go into a nursing home, they will qualify for TennCare. But the children that get left behind and the will that promised the house to Johnny, you know, they're the ones that are going to have to deal with TennCare coming in and can set aside that kind of directive in a will and can bring a house into a probate for it to be sold. And that's where you see that. Now, I didn't mean to move away from what we were talking about.
No, that's perfect.
Because that is the primary asset, typically.
So TennCare does want to recover what they've spent on you.
Yeah, they have to.
Yes.
I mean, if you get $100,000 in benefits, they expect it back.
Okay.
They won't get it back, typically, in Tennessee until you pass away.
Right.
But they expect it back. That's part of that Welfare Reform Act that was passed in Washington back in, I think, 2009.
Okay.
That's the same reason that the government seeks reimbursement for child support that's paid out. So it's the same law. And that makes sense. If you get something, you should be responsible for it. So the other assets would be bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see, like I said, a significant amount of money in those bank accounts. And then I go through this education process of what else can you do with that money from an estate planning standpoint to not only protect it, but protect it from being immediately spent down and allow it to last longer so that you can pay for things that that may come up. And those are those trusts that we see. In Tennessee, if you have more than $2,100 in income a month, typically, and this changes every year, and you go into a nursing home, you're going to have to contribute that $2,100 to your nursing home care. So what we do is we set up something called a Miller Trust, and that money goes directed into that Miller Trust every month as kind of an accounting vehicle. And if, say, TennCare's paying the other, it's $10,000, they'll pay the other portion. And that's done until you've depleted your income. There are exemptions, and there's a whole mathematical calculation for this, what the spouse at home gets to keep. So it is very bureaucratic, of course, because it's the government.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to confuse people. But those trusts are helpful because, say, you've got, for instance, $200,000 sitting in a bank account, savings account, that's not earning much interest. If you move that over into a appropriate trust, say a third-party supplemental needs trust or something like that, it will go to supplemental needs for you. You can't control it. You've got to appoint another trustee, and that whole fiduciary issue is another thing that we could talk about for
a long time.
But you could have a child, you could have a banker, you could have someone you trust and you know is going to watch out for your self-interest, manage it. And then they pay for things for your care. And it is subject to a 5-year look back, you know, but planning again. Planning is what helps. And so I think those are typically what I see. I don't know if that answers your question or not, Chad. But, you know, from my standpoint, I'm trying to advocate for people so that they have mm-hmm. the right things in place that they will need moving forward. And then try and help educate them about what's available from a financial standpoint. I don't do that part. I can draft the trust and so forth, but that's why they need people like you mm-hmm. Who understand those issues. And it is really a joint conversation.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So typically, do you see individuals that have annuities set up or see any benefit for certain types of annuities in these situations?
There are certain annuities that are helpful. And I think they call them Medicaid compliant annuities. And I typically tell people to go talk to their financial advisor if they don't have one, mm-hmm. Find one, because the wrong annuity won't help you at all. You know, the key is to take that money and create some kind of income stream, I think, versus just paying it all down in a big pocket.
Right.
But from my standpoint, you know, I'm the one that's crafting the trust. I'm the one crafting the powers of attorney, which are very specific. They're not just cookie cutter documents. I'm drafting the will that might have all these provisions in it. So it's important for people to realize it. You're part of this conversation. You have to be. You have to be. You don't want just a blank form to define what happens after you die or why you're dying.
Yeah, that's, fill in the blanks. Not a good option for that.
This is not fill in right. the blank territory.
Yeah, and so. I know a lot of people, we hear that, you know, just, I don't have a lot of firsthand experience with it, but I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, their goal, it seems, is to basically get rid of all of their money, right? Mm-hmm. So that they don't have anything that Medicaid can come back after and get. And, you know, without committing fraud, it doesn't seem like that's very doable in most situations. Now, we do have some annuities that that we can offer, and one of them actually has a 300%, up to 300% rate of return on your initial investment. So if you had $100,000 to put into this annuity for a qualified nursing home expense, you could receive back up to $300,000 in benefits.
Yeah, and I guess that's saying making your money work for you.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to do it, for
that's
sure.
That's so important, because people don't realize how important it is to make their money work for them. They think, well, this is fine. I got these CDs, and da-da-da-da, getting around 0.5% or so for CDs. Not a very good return, to say the least. Yeah. It won't even keep up with inflation. And of course, now inflation is going to really be hard to keep up with.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit more about that, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next segment. Stay tuned for that.
But just to wrap this one up real quick. So obviously, an annuity that creates some kind of recurring income stream is one way that could potentially help somebody who's dealing with some unexpected nursing home expenses. And we definitely have some other recommendations, and we will talk about those here in the next segment. In the meantime, definitely check us out on the web, onefamilyfinancial.com. And as you're listening or throughout the week, whenever, if you have any questions, give us a call, 423-710-2009. And stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome back to One Family Financial with Chad Sontag, Ron Adams, Christy Adams, and our special guest star today, Miss Nancy Kogar, who is an elder law attorney with...
We need a little drumbeat when we do.
Thank you.
She is with Samples Jennings, Clem and Fields. And also, let me tell you her website, if you'd like to get in touch with Nancy. It's ChattanoogaElderLaw.com. If you would like to get in touch with us, the number is 423-710-2009, 710-2009, and our website is onefamilyfinancial.com with the number one. Well, I had a thought, but it's gone now, so let's just ignore that and move on. So, Nancy, what's something that you feel is important to bring up?
Well, I am not a fortune teller or future caster, of course.
Oh, we got it.
But, we have a crystal ball
right there on the desk.
I'll ask you for some help with this. we had an election recently, didn't we?
Indeed, we did.
Yeah. So we have a new president, and he is proposing some things that could have a very dramatic effect on families, and especially when it comes to inheritance and estate taxes and so forth.
Estate taxes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds important for estate planning.
Yeah, yes. So if your eyes are glazing over at home right now, stay with us.
It's important.
Yeah. So like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I've started to get phone calls even today. I got calls from people who want to know what's going to happen because Mr. Biden is talking about some eliminations of certain things, especially some interesting thing that's called step up in basis. People
yes.
don't know what that is until they have to deal with it. But he's talking about eliminating that. How can I explain that in a simple way? Let's see.
Well,
if grandma purchases a house in 1950 for $50,000 in Chattanooga, which that's probably about right.
Yeah.
Today, our market is great. It sells, let's say it's in Mountain Shadows. So it sells for $550,000 as part of the probate.
Mm-hmm.
Deep silence.
So there's like a there's
how much
like a
gain do we have?
$300,000 or
yeah, we've got a lot of gain there, people.
A lot
yeah,
of gain.
Which should be a good thing, right? If you're making money, that's
what you get to keep of it.
Well,
yeah,
that's the important thing.
So the basis is what? It's the price grandma paid for the house in Mountain Shadows back in 1950. So it's $50,000. And usually, currently, that's, I shouldn't say usually, but since what, 1980? It's been, that basis is a gift to the beneficiaries.
Yeah.
So that you are saving all kinds of capital gains on the sale of grandma's house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Biden is talking about eliminating the step up in basis, which could generate, I thought I had this down somewhere, but it's a lot of money, folks. $41 billion a year.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money.
And he's talking about not only changing, you know, reduce or eliminating this step up basis, but also talking about taxing that at a rate of up to 39.6%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which
so.
Is insane.
So if you inherit
Obama thing on there that he had up over 40% with that.
Some wealthy families I was reading, and this of course needs to be passed by an act of Congress unless there's an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
So write your congressman.
But wealthy families could be taxed at over 60% of their income.
So going back to the basis thing, if you inherit grandma's house, she paid $50,000 for it, you're going to sell it for $550,000 because that's what the market will bear.
Mm-hmm.
That $500,000 difference is now income in your pocket that you have to pay taxes on.
Correct.
At perhaps
under this proposal.
Under
yes.
this proposal, if it happens. It has not happened yet. So if you don't want that to happen, please write to your congressman.
Write to your congressman.
So this is for estate planning purposes, nice gift from grandma could put you in the poorhouse. Taxes
and there are some, I saw some arguments about keeping the house and benefits for keeping the house. And, you know, typically people are not in a position where they can own or finance something, you know, where they could spread it out over a long period. But, you know, this, and these are things that haven't come into play yet, but they're just on the horizon and could create a huge issue.
Well, it's been so hard for Congress to get Congress to pass something, too. I'd be pretty worried about that.
Yeah, we have that going for us. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the other issue that I wanted to touch on, if I could, is the tax exemption for estate tax, which, again, don't let your eyes glaze over. this is money that you're going to have to pay to the government. So right now, Tennessee does not have an inheritance tax.
Mm-hmm.
that makes this state, again, very attractive to people that are in states where they get taxed like crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see so many people moving here, which is driving up our real estate prices.
Right.
But we don't have an inheritance tax, but there is one on the federal level. And it is currently a little over $11 million. So most people do not have an almost $12 million estate.
Yeah.
And then for spouses, you double that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, most of us don't have to deal with that.
No.
me included.
Not too many of us.
But Mr. Biden is talking about lowering that to, he says 3.5 million right now. The problem is if they do nothing, which is exactly, sorry, folks, I didn't mean to get political, exactly what we've seen our Congress do, little or nothing, my opinion, much. So this tax exemption will stop in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we do nothing, then... which is, I think you can bank on that more than anything else, unfortunately. But if they do nothing, then that's what we're faced with. So that's almost absolutely going to become an issue.
Because it's not that hard to get $3 million out of a state.
No, I mean, look at Grandma. She bought a house for $50,000, and now she's she's got $500,000.
In just her house.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Well, the state could get so many people coming into it, too, and with money, because they want to protect their money.
Mm-hmm,
We see that in Florida. It's just done fantastic with that.
Yeah.
And no state tax either. You don't know. Hopefully, that'll never change, but you never know.
Well, and they're coming from states like New York or California, where they're penalizing them for leaving, first of all, and then they want to tax the money that they're taking out of the state. It's good for Tennessee in some ways, but we need to be aware of these things.
Well, you can't. A lady told me she just quits even thinking about it, you know. And I thought, well, I used to work with ostriches at one time, you know, and there's an old saying, they stick their head in the sand when they don't want to see anything. It's not really true, but it's kind of funny. But you can't just ignore what's going on.
Yeah.
There's some really serious things to think about that are going on these proposals. This HR 1 bill, and very scary. And if you don't know what it's going to do, you need to find out. You need to find out for yourself what it's going to do.
And you need to plan. Don't just think this is going to happen for you. You really do need to be active in planning your estate, no matter how old you are. But for sure, if you're in your 40s or 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
If you haven't done some estate planning, please give us a call.
We get a lot more 50-year-olds than we used to get.
We used to get mostly 60 and 70-year-olds, but we get more in their 40s and 50s than we ever did.
Mm-hmm. You know, we joked about looking in the crystal ball and not being able to predict the future. And again, this is just a proposal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like a pretty bad situation, potentially, for individuals who do have those assets that were receiving or would receive a major tax break under the current laws. But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. If something like this, it is if you're in that situation. But if you have an IRA or 401k, those types of accounts could actually be more attractive if a proposal like this were to be passed, because some of those other taxable accounts would no longer have some of the same tax advantages. And so looking at doing Roth conversions or, you know, bumping up your 401k contributions may end up being a better idea. So, these are some of the things that we can sit down and discuss with the individuals on a one-on-one basis, because there's no cookie cutter answer here, folks. Like everybody's situation is unique. And as tax laws change, there are going to be decisions that you need to make that are going to make use of the full advantage of those ever-changing laws. And that's where we come in, and we can really help sit down and navigate all these complex issues with you guys. So give us a call, 423-710-2009. We'd be more than happy to sit down and do a complimentary financial inventory with you, which is
good idea.
An amazing building block that we recommend for all of our clients, new and old. Sit down, do a financial inventory, figure out where you're at, figure out where you want to be, and see what we can do to maximize that and make that a reality for you.
Well, that's right. You know, and people don't, a lot of times we don't think about the basis of everything, the foundation of all these things to build up your empire, whatever it is. But, you know, they don't build any houses or they don't build any buildings without having a foundation. I think one of them tried it once, but it didn't work out very well. So you got to think about that and come in and see us. We'll help you get your foundation going because you've got to have that. You've got to have that.
Absolutely. So give us a call. Again, that's 423-710-2009, 710-2009. Visit us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com. And you can reach Nancy at chattanoogaelderlaw.com. Stick with us. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to One Family Financial with Ron, Ched, Nancy, and Christy. We're glad that you've been with us today and hope that you found today's show very interesting and informative. Give us a call anytime, 423-710-2009, 710-2009. Visit us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com, and you can find Nancy at chattanoogaelderlaw.com. What do you have for us, Ron?
Well, I've been thinking about all this stuff we've been talking about preparing and how important preparing is in anything you do. You have to prepare things. When I was when I went out to California when I was about 19 or 20 and decided to get some kind of work out there in the movie business, little did I know that would actually work, but it's good to have a goal. And saw this little ad in the paper said, man wanted to learn and train and care for wild animals. Well, that appealed to me. That sounded very exciting. And it would turn out to be a lot more exciting than he wanted it to be sometimes. But you got to, in that business, you also have to prepare. If you're going to go down to the studio and down to Hollywood, which is about 100 miles from where the ranch was, and we'd take animals down there and we'd shoot some different movies. There's one that we shot called... it was that one where the, what was that called? It was one where the guy that had the, he had a zoo. Black zoo. And he would rent his animals out as hit animals to kill people. It's really classy movie. And,
I missed that one.
Yeah. I think a lot of people missed that one.
Yeah.
But we get on the set and we had like 9 or 10 big cats all in one room, which is very scary to do.
Yeah.
And the guy that owned the company was really a class act because he's on the way down. If he saw someone, young guy walking down the road, he'd say, you want to go work in a movie today to pay, you know, $20, something like that, you know, and the scale was around $50 to $100 a day back then. That was, to me, not really preparing too well. Of course, he got the difference in the money, so I guess he was very happy about that. But when we went down there and we were headed down this one day and we had the big elephant in the back of the semi and there was a tiger in a little cage that had wooden doors. Now, I was pretty new in the business, but I just didn't seem to think a tiger should have a wooden-type door. Didn't seem right to me. So on the way down there in the Hollywood Freeway, the semi started going back and forth. About tipped us over, and we had to pull off the side of the road and get out and open the back door, and this tiger jumped over my head and ran down the road a little ways, and which was pretty exciting. And so we got the tiger, got it back, and put it back in there, and the elephant was very upset because the elephant and tigers did not get along at all.
They're not good friends.
Huh. You know, but we got it in there and, you know, got a chain around the tiger's neck so we could kind of lead him and went along with that. Then we got down to the studio, and there was going to be a zoo scene, like a circus when they're all lined up, and we had the tiger, we had the elephant, me. Yeah, I had dressed up in a clown suit. It was kind of, you know, kind of funny. And there was a woman from the studio that was down going to ride on the elephant. And she, of course, she thought she knew all about it, and I tried to explain to her how dangerous it was. She paid no attention at all. But when they said action, the guy had a calliope, a steam calliope, and they started it up, scared the tiger to death. And he got out his biggest roar you can imagine. And the elephant, me and the girl took off down down the set, going through these different sets, the Bonanza set and some different ones, you know, and went poor down elephant. This underground thing, and she was going to get killed. I, you got to jump off. She finally did, and about killed me when I tried to catch her. But the thing is, that could have been prepared probably somewhat different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We finally got the scene. Of course, it took hours and hours and hours. So, but from there on, we always tried to prepare better, or I hope we
did. Yeah, all it would have taken was a steel door instead of a wooden door.
It would have helped. It would have helped tremendously. So you got to do that in your life and the things you're trying to do to build up for the future. You, we do that in our business, and Nancy does that in hers. And these are the kind of things that we want to help you with because we really understand the importance of preparation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
Today,
my
for
pleasure.
The first time. We will have you on again, hopefully fairly frequently. If you would like to get in touch with Nancy and ask her some questions, just go to her website, which is ChattanoogaElderLaw.com. If you would like to make an appointment with us, One Family Financial, your appointments with us are, as Chad said, complimentary. The number is 423-710-2009, 710-2009. And you can visit us on the web at onefamilyfinancial.com. Until next time, this is Christy Adams.
Ron Adams.
Chad Sontag.
And Nancy Kogar. Thank you.
Urging you to stay safe.